Learning to write Chinese characters takes a lot of time and might not be strictly necessary. But if you want to improve your handwriting, how should you go about it? Hello and welcome to the Hacking Chinese podcast. In this week's episode, we are going to talk about writing in Chinese, and that is because there is a writing challenge on for February. It starts on February 10th, and if you're interested in that, head over to challenges.hackingchinese.com or check the link in the description. When we talk about writing in Chinese, there are usually two types of writing which are actually completely different, but are usually still called writing. So one of them would be the writing that you do in any other language. That would be composition, how you put words together on a page to form sentences and to form a longer text. That's writing. But we also have writing in the sense of writing characters by hand, and in most other languages this is not a meaningful distinction because they are usually one and the same. Being able to type in English, for example, kind of entails the ability to write by hand, although it might be slow, ugly, and so on. But this is not the case in Chinese. It's perfectly possible to be able to read and type, but not be able to write by hand. This month's challenge is actually about composition, but on the other hand, you can do whatever you want with the challenges, so if you prefer to practice your handwriting, you can do so too. And to kind of compensate for those who are interested in writing by hand, this episode will be dedicated to writing by hand. And I will talk about why writing by hand is hard in Chinese, if it's really necessary to learn how to do so, if you want to do so, what it requires of you, and we will also talk about some methods for improving penmanship, or writing neat or even beautiful characters. Finally, I will also talk about the role of handwriting in your overall strategy for learning Chinese. And this depends on your level and the reason why you are learning the language. Let's start with the basics, and for those of you who have been learning Chinese for a while, this is going to be pretty obvious, but I want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. Learning to write by hand in Chinese is probably more difficult than in any other language for the simple reason that there are so many characters you need to learn, and you also need to keep track of the differences between these characters, when to use them, and so on. And of course, we could throw a number out here, maybe say you need 3,500 characters or something like that to be able to write normal text, but you can extend that up to 5,000-6,000 if you want to, and if you want to reach a near-native level. This is of course very different from learning a language that uses an alphabet or a phonetic writing system. So something that uses the Latin alphabet, obviously there is no problem with handwriting. If you learn Swedish, for example, you need to write a few extra dots, but that's it. If you learn something like Arabic, well, then you have a slightly more complex task ahead of you, same for Korean, but these are still phonetic writing systems, and they have a limited number of symbols. We're talking about dozens or maybe 100 characters. We are not talking about thousands, as in Chinese and Japanese. In this episode, I'm not going to talk about how to remember the characters, I'm just going to talk about how to get better at writing them. If you want to learn the characters, I suggest you check out episode 54 and the associated article. I've put links in the description. Because the writing system is so complex, it also has the consequence that it's perfectly possible to be able to read but not be able to write. And this is of course because recognition is a much simpler task than active recall, and if you see something and recognize it for what it is in context, that's one thing, and it's fairly easy, at least in comparison with having to recall every single component, how it's written, how they are put together, and so on. This, of course, takes a lot of time to learn, so native speakers spend much, much more time studying their own written language than we spend learning ours. And this is something that we as second language learners cannot try to copy. It would take way too much time and be very impractical. In addition, most people who learn Chinese as adults don't really need to write by hand that much. If you think about it, when did you last write something in your native language by hand? I don't write much by hand myself. I do some brainstorming occasionally, I write some notes maybe, but apart from that, I don't write much by hand at all. So not being able to write by hand is not a very big handicap in most situations. Naturally, if you want to send a letter or sign something or fill out a form, you then need to be able to write by hand, but these are very specific situations that you typically only need if you live in China, for example, and if you do this, you could presumably look stuff up and you're not in a kind of exam situation. Indeed, being in school is one of the main reasons people do want to learn to write by hand, because it is required in the course that they take, and so on and so forth. But beyond school, learning to write by hand is not strictly required. That doesn't necessarily mean that you should skip handwriting altogether, but it does mean that you can be a bit relaxed about it and you can definitely have lots of words that you know how to read but don't know how to write. And of course, it's perfectly fine to be able to say lots of things that you cannot write by hand. That is only natural. Let's try to be a little bit more specific here. So how much should you learn to write by hand? Well, this of course depends on what your goal for learning Chinese is. Does it require handwriting? And if the answer is no, which is most of the time, then you can decide for yourself. I would suggest that you learn at least a few hundred characters, because that guarantees that you learn the basics of character writing, you understand how they are composed and so on, and you get a kind of an understanding for characters that you won't get if you never write them by hand. But you don't need to learn everything, and you can extend those few hundred characters to a few thousand if you want to, but don't feel any pressure to do so if you feel that typing is enough. So, in the rest of this podcast, we're going to focus on learning to write Chinese characters by hand, what it entails, and some of the things you should do if you want to improve your handwriting. So let's first look at what you need, the skills that are required if you want to be able to write characters correctly. So the first thing you need to do is you need to be able to recall which character to write out of several possible options. And this is not strictly related to the character itself, of course, but you need to know which character goes in the word you're supposed to write. So for example, let's say you're going to write 工作. You need to know which 作 it is, because we have two 作 that are pronounced the same and both kind of mean similar things. And you need to know which one it is. To beginners, this doesn't seem like a very daunting problem because you haven't seen enough characters yet, but when you know several thousand characters, this becomes a real pain sometimes, especially since there might be several correct versions, they might be used in different regions, or they might mean slightly different things. So actually keeping track of which character to write is a big problem, but it's usually one that comes more the more you know. I wrote more about this in an article called The Real Challenge with Learning Chinese Characters, link in the description. Second, once you have recalled the correct character, you also need to recall the components that that character is made up of. And this is indeed how most people remember characters beyond the basics. We learn the components, we learn how they fit together, how they contribute to meaning, pronunciation, and so on. And to keep this concrete, let's look at an example. So when I write a character like xiang, to think, which I think most of you will have learned, it's composed of xin, heart, and then xiang at the top, and which gives a sound. And then xiang itself is composed of mu, wood, and mu, eye. But that, of course, isn't enough, because we also need to remember the structure of the characters and how these components fit together. And in most cases, this isn't really a problem. This is partly because many components appear in specific places normally and so on. So for example, I think very few students have tried to write xiang with the heart at the top, for example. But there are cases where this can be really tricky, and sometimes it's also a matter of preferred variant forms of characters. So if we take a character like go in Nenggou, that one can be written with the components in reverse order, and that is indeed different standards. So in traditional Chinese, as used in Taiwan, for example, the go is written in one way, and then in mainland China, it is written the other way. So these are things that can be very tricky to figure out and learn thoroughly, but usually it isn't a big problem. Another tricky example is niao, the bird component, which can appear both on the left and on the right, and as far as I know, it's fairly random if it's left or right. There are also some characters that have exactly the same components but arranged in different ways and that are completely different characters, not just variants of each other but actually with a different meaning and a different sound. And that is also something I've written about before in the article Chinese characters that share the same components but are still different. Link in the description. Next, we also need to know what strokes each component is composed of, or which strokes are used in the character in general. And sometimes this can be very important, as in qian, 1000, and gan, dry in simplified Chinese, or the heavenly stem. Those characters are only different in the first stroke. Fortunately, this is not really a practical problem, because it's extremely unlikely that someone will misunderstand what you write because you use the wrong stroke in one character. As if all this wasn't enough, you also need to recall the properties of the strokes, so including their length, for example, and their exact placement, order, and direction. And a classic example of this is, of course, ji, yi, and si, which are identical save for the length of the third stroke. And finally, if you are able to recall all of these things, then you need to take that mental representation of this character and commit it to paper using some kind of utensil, maybe a pencil, a brush, or something else. As we can see, this process is rather complex, and this is also the reason why it takes a lot of time to learn to write Chinese by hand. Let's talk a little bit, though, about the last step there, about taking this mental representation and putting it on paper, because that is what we're talking about when we're talking about penmanship and writing by hand, provided that you remember what you're supposed to write, that is. And here I want to make a distinction between intent and execution. So intent is what you want to write. It is your mental image of this character that you want to write on paper. It's based on what you know about this character and about characters in general. So of course, if you're an advanced learner, you can have a very accurate representation of what this character is supposed to look like. You've seen it many times, you might have studied it, you know the components, you know the different variations that exist, and so on and so forth. But this is still something in your head. Now, execution is something different. It is what you actually write on paper. And as I think we all know, this is never the same. So if you're a beginner, you might have looked at a few characters, you think it looks rather simple, but when you start writing them yourself, you figure out, okay, wait, this is not as easy as it looks. And of course, it gets even more difficult if you involve brushes and so on, because then there is a real skill in actually maneuvering the brush on the paper and so on. But even normal handwriting takes a lot of practice to even get to a level where you can write the characters you intend to. So let's continue with the same example as before. We're writing the character Xiang to think. And if you write that, it's unlikely that it comes out exactly the way you intended. Maybe you write one of the strokes a little bit too long, you move one of the components a little bit too far to the side so it looks a bit lopsided, and so on and so forth. It won't come out perfectly. And these are all problems with execution. However, you will not suddenly add another component or maybe by accident write the heart radical at the top or move the components around or suddenly add an extra stroke somewhere. That's something that's extremely unlikely to happen. It's not a mistake. And it's not really a problem with execution, because if you do that, you're kind of showing that you don't know this character and you actually maybe intended to write a character that is wrong. The point here is that intent is much more important than execution. You should make sure that you're trying to write the character correctly, and then if you're not able to do so because you haven't practiced enough, that's fine, it will just come with more practice. However, if you have a problem with your mental representation, you can write the character a billion times, and you will just write it more and more neatly, but it will still be incorrect. And in this manner, more practice will not solve your problem. This is a bit similar to when learning pronunciation, and as a teacher, I cannot know if a tone mistake a student makes is something they just, you know, maybe they just slipped on that word. They know very well what it's supposed to be and they can pronounce it. They just didn't do it in this specific instance for some reason. Or if it's a systematic error and they always make that mistake for that tone. And I need to dig deeper to know which one it is. But when it comes to handwriting, this is pretty obvious because no one is going to add an extra stroke to, say, mu, tree, by accident. If you do that, it shows that you don't know this character. It's a problem with your intent. You intended to write the wrong character. It's not a matter of execution. As usual, I've written about this already in an article called "What You Intend to Write is More Important Than the Character You Actually Write." And again, I put a link in the description. With that in mind, let's say a few things about target models for Chinese characters. So this is what you base your intent on, what your mental representation is based on. And here there are a couple of rookie mistakes you can make. For example, you need to make sure that on your computer and your phone, you're using actual fonts that represents the type of characters that you want to learn. And this is easier today because most of the time it just works. But I remember when I started learning Chinese and I accidentally used a Japanese font without knowing it and without realizing it. So I learned a bunch of characters completely the wrong way. And well, native speakers, they understand these characters, they can read them. But this is not what you want to do if you're practicing handwriting. And this is not something I can cover in this article, because it's very complex, and it's also something which is very hard to talk about because we're talking about small differences in specific characters and so on. But I have put links to articles in the description again for those who want to know more about fonts and displaying characters on your computer or your phone. It's also worth reminding ourselves here that there are different standards, so something might be considered correct in Hong Kong, and then it might be wrong in Taiwan, and something that is correct in Japan is considered wrong in China, and so on and so forth. So it's worth to at least know that this is an issue, and if you're a beginner, you don't need to care about this, but if you are not a beginner and you want to dig deeper into characters and understand how these things work, do know that there are multiple correct answers depending on where you're asking them, what standard you're following, and so on. Now let's turn to execution for a bit and see what you should do if you want to be able to write better. And here I'm not talking about learning the characters and not your mental image either, but actually just being able to write them neatly on paper. And the first thing you should do, especially if you're a beginner, is to use grid paper. And here I mean paper that has grids on it where you write one character in each box. And this helps you with proportions. It enables you to write them at the components in the right position. And it's also easier to compare with the target model because you can see how far a stroke is supposed to extend and things like that, which is pretty hard to do if you just have a blank paper. And if you're a beginner, it's very difficult to keep characters in the squares and you will end up with wrong spacing and so on. So do use grid paper. I've also put a number of resources for creating grid papers in the written article on Hacking Chinese. I also strongly suggest that you get regular feedback if you care about your handwriting. And the reason is, of course, that you have no means of telling if you're doing it wrong and how bad your handwriting is. That is something you cannot tell while you are learning it. You need someone with more experience than yourself, and they can tell you what you're doing wrong and what you should focus on. So this is indeed the same as pronunciation or any other area of the language. Feedback is important because it can help you direct your practice and you know what you're supposed to focus on. Again, like pronunciation, I also suggest that you practice by mimicking a target model. So once you are able to write Chinese characters and maybe want to write them very neatly, try to find someone who writes the way you want to write. I've put one example in the written article, but you can find your own. You just need to verify with a native speaker that it's not something super far out. If you're a beginner, you shouldn't learn some kind of cursive script or something like that. But you just mimic something that you think looks nice, and preferably something that other people think looks okay too. To be able to write neatly, you also need to practice a lot, of course. This shouldn't come as a surprise. But even if you remember everything you know all about the characters, that doesn't mean you can write them well, that you can execute. To do that, you need to practice, practice, practice. And as a reminder, the spacing effect, i.e. the effect that says that reviews spread out over time is more efficient than reviews massed together. This indeed actually works for motor skills too, such as writing. So spreading it out is a good idea. Don't do this once a month, you will never get anywhere, but try to spread it out, write a little bit every day. So let's zoom out a bit and talk about the role of handwriting in your overall strategy for learning Chinese. And here you need to start with your goal for learning the language. Why are you doing this? For example, I want to be able to write characters because I teach Chinese and I want to be able to write the characters that I talk about on the board. Most people aren't teachers though and might not actually need to write by hand that much. So that means that you should really consider how much handwriting you actually need. And you might end up saying that you don't need to write by hand at all. Or you might say that I want to be able to write the 500 most common characters at least, and then I can look up the rest if I need to. And that might take you far enough. But it really depends on what your situation is, what you want, how much you like handwriting. Maybe you think handwriting is very fascinating and you just want to do that, and that's fine. Maybe you think typing is enough and you don't want to write by hand at all. That's also fine. Although I would imagine that you would have turned off this podcast much earlier if that were the case. So here I can share my approach, and it's based on four components. So the first one is reading, and this is for the mental models. It's for keeping track of which character is which character goes where. And reading should, of course, be something you do anyway, so this is not unique for handwriting. But reading a lot is important. The second component of my strategy is typing. And this is, of course, something that most people will want to do. If you don't want to do lots of handwriting, you definitely will do a lot of typing. And even if you do think handwriting is super cool, you still need typing because that's the way the modern world is arranged. Still, typing can be very helpful for handwriting as well, because you do see the characters, it's slightly more active, and it's something that you have to do anyway. Third, I use flashcards to review handwriting specifically, and this is because flashcards and spaced repetition software is such a powerful combination, and I don't really see a way of maintaining such a large number of characters without using a program like, say, Scritter. The fourth and final component is communicative handwriting. So I don't write much just to practice. I would actually admit and say that I almost never do that. I do write some notes, and I do use handwriting input on my phone. So when I want to write something in Chinese, maybe I start doing it on my phone with handwriting input. So I draw the characters with my finger or a stylus on the screen. And then this is naturally too slow. So if I'm going to write a longer text, I will switch to typing at some point. But I still try to use handwriting to communicate, to write real Chinese that I will send to someone or show to someone, not just writing it on paper in order to practice. Now, like I said, this strategy will probably not work for you. I use this as a kind of minimum effort approach to maintaining my ability to write by hand. As you might have noticed, I don't do any mimicking. I don't copy, say, a calligrapher or someone who writes neat characters, because I simply don't think it's worth the time to learn to write neatly in Chinese. I think it's enough to just be able to write the characters clearly for students. Maybe you want to do more than this. Maybe you care a lot about handwriting and then you should come up with your own strategy. Maybe you think this is overkill and you just want to learn a few characters and then you need to find another strategy that works for you. Indeed, this is something where people have vastly different opinions. Some people think, wow, you're not learning to write Chinese by hand, then you're not really learning Chinese. And other people say, wow, I don't want to learn characters at all. Why are you doing that? It's just a waste of time. And so on. So there are all kinds of opinions. And if you want to share your opinion, head over to Hacking Chinese in the comment section, and I would be interested in hearing what strategy you have developed that suits your needs. And in the article itself, there is also a list of resources that you can use to improve your handwriting, including many of those I've mentioned here, but also many others. Thank you for tuning in to the Hacking Chinese podcast. If you like this episode, please share it. More information and inspiration about learning and teaching Chinese can be found at hackingchinese.com. See you in the next episode, and until then, good luck with your studies.